You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
How tense was it?
Yeah, pretty tense. I was pretty nervous watching for the last couple of hours. Everyone tried to keep themselves busy and then look up for the ball and then look back down. And amazing win. Kind of bit by bit, the boys were fantastic today.
Well, I asked Alex about it. He said it was quite heavy for you to smash the winning ones through the cover. You know, you left them 98 not out, but I think you were pretty keen to get it over and done with, weren't you?
Yeah, any way possible. I had no idea he was on 98, so that would have been embarrassing if he was celebrating and I wasn't looking.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Cricket Unfiltered. I'm Menners, and that was the Australian skipper Pat Cummins talking on the TV coverage after a famous win for Australia in Christchurch. And there he was claiming that he didn't know Alex Carey was on 98 not out when he hit the winning runs. We are here to wrap up the test match. I am joined by Dan Liebke, cricket author and host of one of my favourite cricket podcasts, Can't Bowl, Can't Throw. Welcome, Dan. How are you?
I'm very well, and I don't believe Pat Cummins didn't know. I just think he didn't care.
I agree with you 100%. I think he was being ruthless. And, well, we'll get into the details, but for those that are just tuning in wondering what happened across the ditch, well, Australia won the test match by 3 wickets. They salvaged the situation after slumping to 5 for 80. They finished 7 for 281. Carey was 98 not out. He and Mitch Marsh put on 140 before Marsh was dismissed for 80. And Pat Cummins, who's become a bit of a specialist at getting these his team over the line, he hit 32 not out off 44 deliveries. And that was Australia's highest ever fourth inning chase against the Kiwis. So I guess first thing is, Dan, do you agree with me that I think Pat Cummins should have defended that delivery and given Carey a chance? Australia had 3 wickets in the shed. Carey was 98 not out. They needed 2 for the victory. It was the last ball of the over. Everyone on Twitter is saying, oh, no, you've got to go for the win. That is absolute BS.
You know exactly what I'm going to say. You know that I'm going to say that round numbers and milestones don't matter one jot. Of course, you hit the winning runs if they're there to hit. You don't bloody let... Carey even said that he didn't care. Carey didn't want to face the next ball.
Are you just taking the contrarian angle because you've listened to this show and know I like to get into a fight? Because that is absolute BS. If you want to be a good teammate, because the thing is, Carey has to say that. To be a good team man, you've got to say, I don't care about my 100. I just want the team to win. That's what he's got to do. But Cummins has got to be the bigger man and just defend it. You don't even have to say you're even letting him get to his 100. You just play a defensive shot and you let Carey have a go at the other end. And it was very selfish. And then for him to claim that he didn't know Carey was on 98 is even worse. The fact that he has no regard for the achievement of his teammate, And people are bashing Cummins for being selfish and all that. I don't think he's being selfish. I just think he was being dumb. Like, he should have given Carey this chance. And it would have been, could have been one of the great tons. But instead, it'll be 98 not out.
98 not out is perfectly fine. Look, I mean, you know what you're getting when Pat Cummins comes to the crease in a run chase. He's been doing this since his very first test, hitting the winning runs. True. If you're silly enough to be stuck on 98 not out, that's your own bloody fault. I'm sorry, Alex Carey.
Well,
you,
maybe
you have plenty
of opportunities
to bring up your century.
Maybe you shouldn't have taken the single then to get Cummins on strike. I don't know, but I've got an axe to grind with Pat Cummins over that one. And I think, you know, Dan, as you get to my age, you know, and you look back,
I'm older than you.
What was that?
I'm older than you, Menace.
Okay, I think you did something else. Look, okay, well, when you get to our age, you sort of look back and you think about these milestones and how important they are. And I look at, you know, Carey, and, you know, he could have looked back on a famous century and instead, look, agree, a famous win, 98 not out. But as I said, I think the onus was on Pat Cummins. If he's such a nice guy, everybody says what a great captain he is, how good he is to them all, then you block that one, you dead bat it, and you let Carey have a chance.
He would have looked pretty silly if Carey got out on 98 and then Nathan Lyon came in and got out as well, and poor old Josh Hazlewood was left in the same situation as he was against the West Indies.
No, negative attitude. Never would have happened. absolutely. That's loser mentality. Anyway, Carey said it was his best ever innings in any form of
play. Yeah, it was. So,
I'd agree. And then second thing I want to throw at you to start, Dan, I said yesterday on the wrap-up that I thought there was so much on the line for this Australian team that if they actually lost today, then they would have had to confront the reality of back-to-back one-all series, and then you look at the Ashes tour, and maybe they'd be forced to make changes. But now the way this test match has turned out, the two players really under the pump, Alex Carey and Manus Labuschagne, both produced very good innings. Manus 90 in the first innings, Carey's poor 98 not out in the second innings. And then you add in Mitch Marsh with 80. I think that answered a lot of questions that I think were floating around this team.
Yeah, I agree. I think that all the batters, the batting lineup, like this new post-Warner batting lineup, hasn't properly clicked yet. But they've all, in the last few tests, they've all had an opportunity and they've all stood up at one point or another, pretty much. Maybe Khawaja hasn't and Head hasn't properly. But the others have all, like Green, the last test, Smith in that test against the West Indies. So they've all chimed in and done their bit. And I think they're just kind of clinging to enough runs. And as you say, a win here definitely helps that they'll hold the critics at bay just a little bit longer.
Yeah,
and, like, you know, they've got 8 months or something now.
Exactly. I think Khawaja has enough credits in the bank.
Yeah.
So I think, and he's shown, he was consistent throughout the summer without getting the big, big scores. Travis Head, though, is an interesting one. Again, credit in the bank. You know, when he goes well, he's a match winner. But I actually am not against him moving up to opener. If they went into the Indian series at the Gabba, or say at the first test, and decided to sort of maybe swap Smith and Head, or, you know, even change the order dramatically, maybe you drop Smith to three, you put Head to opener, Manus at four, Green at five, whatever the order they decide to go. I do think there is a case now that maybe Head's approach at five doesn't work well alongside Marsh's, because they both play the same. I think you could split them up.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think Head's been suffering a bit from the fact that the openers haven't done that well recently. I think he does better when the ball's a little bit older, and he's been coming in probably a lot earlier than he would like to be coming in recent months.
So, yes, a lot of questions answered. The Australian selectors will be thrilled. And I have to say, I don't want to say I'm going to eat humble pie, but Pat Cummins trots out this friggin' line all the time that when the chips are down, one of our players will stand up.
Yeah.
And that's what happened today. Australia was 5 for 80. Travis Head was out the second over of the day. And I think everybody watching probably thought this is going to be over very quickly. Alex Carey was on shaky ground. Marsh had been dropped the ball before. And then now we're talking about a famous win. So they've done it, but it was, you know, it was nervy. I mean, yeah, it was a great test match. You were over there for the first test match. I can only imagine the atmosphere today was incredible.
Oh, it would have been amazing to be there today. I certainly did not think Australia were going to win today. And like even at the start of the day, I thought, well, you know, it has to be Head and Marsh have to get them within 100, I think, for them to be a chance. And that disappeared very rapidly. I was completely staggered that New Zealand somehow managed to mess it up again.
Do you think the psychology got to them again? Because I think they played pretty well throughout the day. I actually think more what came into it was, and what everybody said, but, you know, once the ball got to about 40 overs old, batting got a lot easier, and it did seem to get a lot easier. And, you know, Marsh and Carey just played very well for their 140-run partnership. I don't think New Zealand played badly. They didn't win it, but they didn't throw it away.
No, they didn't. But and you're right. And Australia were very, very clever in the way that they batted at such a rate that there was never any chance that there would be a second new ball. So once they got past that, you know, whatever that mark was, the 30, 40 over mark where it became easier, they knew that they weren't going to face another new ball. And that definitely helped, despite the best efforts of, I thought Sears when he came back on and took those two wickets. That I was like, oh, wait a second. Now Australia going to throw this away?
Absolutely. Let's go back to the beginning of the day. So there was an hour delay. So Australia started at 4 for 77, and there was a session of an hour and 40 minutes up until the lunch break. And Marsh was dropped first ball of the second over of the day off Southie. Marsh cut one to Ravindra at point, who dropped a sitter. And that brought Head on to strike, who then slashed the next ball to point. So he was out. So people have said the Ravindra catch was very costly because Marsh made 80, and I agree, you want to take every chance. But also, he spilt it, gets Head on to strike, Head gets out. I don't know, kind of evened out in the end.
Yeah, you can say that. And obviously everything changes once the drop is taken. But if he'd caught it, who knows, maybe Carey would have come out and hit his first ball straight to be caught. Who knows? You never know. But yeah, it was. I still don't think you want to be dropping catches.
And no, that was not
a difficult catch.
No, but they opened the door, and then I just thought we saw Carey and Marsh play excellently. Carey was given out LBW to Henry on 19, but he reviewed it and it looked to be missing leg. I thought watching this live when it was given out, he'd be out. I thought there'd be just enough hitting the stumps, but in the end it just swung too far. And the Kiwis reviewed another one off Carey, caught behind off Kugelheim, but that was not given out. So actually by lunchtime, the Kiwis only had one review left. And as you said, what was positive for Australia was in the 19 overs, Australia scored 1 for 97. So they went at almost 5 and over. And that's what was, you know, a feature of the Marsh-Carey partnership. They scored quickly. Their century partnership came off just 124 balls and just fantastic stuff. And when Australia went to lunch needing only 105 to win with 5 wickets in hand, I was pretty confident.
Yeah, I think I still didn't have them quite favourites at that point, but I thought, they'd brought it back to pretty much 50-50, I think, at that stage. That was a great partnership between Carey and Head. Carey and Marsh, I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Mitch Marsh went past 2,000 test runs when he made his 70th run, and he joins both Jeff Marsh and Sean Marsh. I'm sure you've done a little tribute to that in your piece today, Dan, as an avid lover of the Marsh boys.
I haven't, sadly, but well done to all three of them. I assume Jeff's still the leader on the board. I can't imagine that Sean got past Jeff.
No. Well, hopefully Mitch Marsh can lift his test batting average up into the 30s and at least be parity with his brother and father.
Yeah, always got to aim high.
That's it. I've been watching a lot of Jeff Marsh on the Cricket Gold channel. I don't know if you watch a lot of Cricket Gold, Dan, but it's fantastic, and Marsh is one of the stars.
Well, and rightly so. I mean, I used to love Jeff Marsh when I was a youngster. I used to love the idea of an anchor at the top of the order in the one dayers and him just, you know, rattling off 80 off 150 balls while everyone else did their share. That was lovely stuff. Lovely stuff.
The good thing about cricket gold is you just see the boundaries. You don't see the 70 dot balls.
So you miss the best of Jeff Marsh then.
Yeah, well, true. You miss him playing, missing. So Kerry and Marsh took the score from 5 for 80 to 6 for 220. And then there was 59 needed at this stage. And it was cruising. The Aussies were in command. And then Sears came in and got a big in swinger to wrap Marsh on the pads. He's given out LBW for umpire Erasmus. He has one bad decision before he waddles off into retirement. But that one was just clipping leg stump. I think Mitch Marsh was a trifle unlucky. It wasn't a shocker. I'm being facetious.
No, it was fine. I don't think you can ever complain about umpire's call. I mean, the whole point of it is it's close enough that, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, bowlers deserve something. But it was very close. It was a very close one. Yep. So he goes for 80. That brings Stark out. He just punches his first ball to sort of mid-wicket. He's caught. So Sears is on a hat trick. He bowls a shocker, which Cummins sort of edges through the slips. And from there, actually, they did it very easily. Carey and Cummins went untroubled through the end. They put on 61. And they just weren't any real close calls. You know, a couple of balls popped up. Carey had a couple pop through the gully region. But it did play out that the ball had softened up. And without the sort of backup, you know, Southie bowled okay. But without anyone to really back up Henry in that situation, and he looked like a spent force, and, you know, they really missed Kugelhine. So in the end, Australia did it. Captain Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't look troubled, did he, when Cummins came in? I can't really think of any ball where he looked, you know, panicky or as if he was going to get out. He just calmly defended ones from Phillips. Phillips was bowling well at one end. But he just took a big stride forward, blocked them all out, and then kept clipping them off his hip. And then, as you say, at the end, was brave enough to hit the match-winning four.
Rob his teammate of glory. Steal it all for himself, old Paddy Cummins. But one thing I've noticed, Dan, is there are some people that really hate Pat Cummins online. I put out that tweet, and I like Pat Cummins. I think overall, I mean, I know he's a great guy because, you know, I've met him a number of times. He's one of the best guests ever on this podcast. Doesn't mean I've not disagreed with some of his decisions in the past, and that is my right, but I have no personal grudge against him. Like, he's a top bloke. Like, I don't think him hitting the four was him, you know, I don't think he's a real prick underneath it all. I just think he didn't have the awareness to realise, okay, I'll let my teammate make 100. But some people absolutely hate him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're wrong.
They're wrong, Dan.
Yeah, they're just wrong people. That's fine.
So Sears finished with 4 for 90. Henry, 2 for 94, 9 wickets for the match. Unfortunately, deserved 10 but didn't get them. Marsh, 80 off 102 deliveries. Kerry, 98 off 123 deliveries. Cummins, 32 not off 44 deliveries. And I have to say, just sort of, you know, looking at this match-winning performance from Kerry, he is one of the nicest cricketers Australia's ever had, and he deserves every success. And I thought this was a tailor-made situation for him, Dan. He came out not in one-day mode, but with a target, you know, a target needed, and he was positive, and he played the situation perfectly. And this is going to silence all the doubters because it was an innings that he's promised the deliverer for a long time but never has.
Yeah, I thought he was absolutely fantastic. He had, again, much like Cummins when he came out to bat, Carey looked completely untroubled by anything. He was hitting a few. I think on commentary, Brendan Julian was complaining because he kept trying to cut the ball and just like, well, he wasn't getting out to any of them. He was scoring runs, so I didn't really have a problem with anything that Carey was doing, and he was happy. He actually scored more runs than Marsh in their partnership at a faster rate, which is not what you necessarily always suspect. You kind of expect Marsh to be the one bludgeoning away. But Kerry really accelerated, as we said, which, you know, took the threat of a second new ball out of the equation. I mean, you wouldn't have wanted to be seven down with, you know, 25 runs needed and the new ball being taken. That would have made it a little bit tighter.
Oh, absolutely. And they got there with 15 overs to spare before the new ball was due. So, yeah, have to give them credit. And, you know, a golden opportunity missed for New Zealand. They had Australia on the ropes, 4 for 34, 5 for 80. They'd have expected to win from there. And, again, their fans go disappointed. I don't think they dropped the shoulders, as I said before, but they will rue not being able to close this one out. I mean, I do think having Kugelhoeve not available, you know, put extra stress on them. So anyway, the Kiwis, again, did you, when you were over there, Dan, did you feel the inferiority complex? Did, like, when you were going to your seat, did sort of people just get out of the way and just say, oh, Australians yeah. coming through?
They smelt my Australianness on me, and they all said, here, have this section of the hill all to yourself, sir. And they bowed to me and gave me little hobbit figurines.
All right, so anything you want to add about today's? No, I think it was. Anything you want to add about today's play before? I just want to look at the series stats before we wrap this up.
No, I not really. I just thought it was a very impressive victory from Australia. I certainly did not expect it to happen. Probably three or four times over, I thought they were doomed, and they kept on coming. So very, very impressive.
Yeah, absolutely gripping day. I had to watch every ball. It sucked me away from the Oscars. Yeah, as you can imagine, Dan, I'm a real red carpet guy. So it sucked me away from the Oscars, and I watched every ball of the Test match. The way the series finished.
Right, indeed.
For the Australian batting averages, Cameron Green was on top. No surprise after his 174 not out, 238 runs. Carey, 125 runs. So it goes from cellar dweller to second highest run scorer for the series. Marsh in third position. I guess if you look down the bottom, it's the batters that failed to really trouble the scorers. Smith, 51 runs in the series. Head, 69 runs in the series. So they're the two. If you're going to make a change, you could swap. If you're McDonald and Cummins, who don't like to rock the boat, you could say, well, looking at their figures, maybe we could swap them and see if we get better results. Wickets-wise, Lyon, the most wickets for Australia, 13 wickets at 12.53. You saw him in the first test, Dan. He was incredible over there.
He was amazing. He was very, very good. Obviously, one of the great things of the ground is you could see, perhaps a little bit more clearly than you can on television, the end that he was bowling at was the end that Glenn Phillips took all the wickets from. It was obviously the end that was getting all the turn, and he was just quite brilliant in that first test.
Yeah, brilliant series for Lyon. Hazelwood leading wickets for the Australian Quicks, 10 wickets at 17.6. He had a stellar summer. And look at the New Zealand batting. Ravindra, most runs, 145. But Matt Henry, probably the standout for New Zealand, 17 wickets at 15.7 in the series. He's announced himself against the Australians as being very dangerous when he gets on a run of form.
So Dad, and he was player of the series too.
He was.
Player of the series too in a side that lost 2-0. So very impressive effort.
Was he?
Yep.
That's bullshit.
Well, he was certainly called up onto the stage and no, given
I was probably
award.
Distracted. Yeah, Alex Carey was player of the match, sorry.
Yes.
I guess that was they were trying to even it up because of Henry's, you know, 9 wickets in this match. They couldn't give him player of the match. Let me think though. If I'm giving player of the series, who are you giving it to?
Matt Henry.
No, come on. Don't be like that. Really? You'd give it to Matt Henry?
He took 17 wickets. I think he was like New Zealand's second or third top run scorer as well. I think,
but they lost 2-0. I would give it probably to Cam Green. Most runs for the series and
Green
he took three wickets.
Yeah, he did all right, I guess.
Another bullshit decision on the podium. All right, Dan. Okay, we'll wrap this up. So, one of the reasons I got you on is because, you know, I'm an avid listener to your podcast. So I know you've got some stuff coming out. Tell the listeners what you've got coming up and where they can get it.
Well, I've got, I'm just about to submit a new book. That won't be out till the end of the year, but that's heading off to the publishers in 2 days' time. So lots of tweaks for that one. And then it's just the podcast. So Can't Bowl, Can't Throw podcast. Search for that on whatever podcast stores you like. You can also find everything I write about and do over at liebcricket.com. That's liebcricket.com.
Well, Dan, thanks for joining me. Listeners, thanks for tuning in to Cricket Unfiltered. Our fantastic tour of New Zealand comes to an end. The Kiwis, they just can't do it against the Aussies. As hard as they try, we're just too good. But I'll be back soon. I had a look that I've recorded 177 episodes since the beginning of January 2023. So I think we're coming up to a time when podcasts go on hiatus. But the Shield season is pumping on, so you know, when the Shield season is over, which is probably the most important cricket that happens in the world, I'm going to take a break. I know, Dan, you love your Shield, don't you?
Yeah. Who's in the final?
Thanks, listeners. We'll be back soon.
This is a Piccolo Podcast production.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.